fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right, it's Thursday night, it's 8 p.m., and you're right where you should be tuned in. Unless maybe you're listening on a podcast, because you know we do put this out on podcast. I know a lot of people listen on podcast. So if it's not Thursday night, it's good that you're still listening, yes. Whether it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or whenever. We appreciate you listening on the podcast. Shout out to the podcast. But for the rest of you here, in real time, because I know you're not distracted by the RNC or anything like that, you're here with us. It's 8 p.m. You got to sift through the fake news, figure out what's really going on, what's really important, and call in and discuss this with us, because at FM Talk 106.5, we will turn up your voice. And as always, we are here without fail every week, no matter whether it's rain, sleet, or snow, or 110% humidity, we are always here. Now, this week has been a challenging week because of the extreme heat and humidity. The electrons wanted to come out naked. But our commandante of the electrons said, no, 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 we ain't playing that game down here. So he has made sure that they are not only sanitized, they are safe, they are docile, and they're not naked. So the electrons can come to you safely, and they're COVID-free. So, and that's all due to the incredibly diligent, compassionate efforts of our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate that kind words. You know, I had to get the electrons environmental, air-conditioned environmental suits.
Oh, environmental suits.
So they're all encapsulated.
They're all encapsulated.
And, of course, they're, you know, that maintains the social distancing and masking and stuff.
Yes. So, yes, environmental, that's good.
Air-conditioned environmental suits.
And air-conditioned environmental suits for every electron.
That's
what
right.
What diligence to go after those millions of electrons to make sure they get to you. So as you could tell, we're a tad unruly because our director of quality assurance is maybe coming. It's football season, and she's got to take kids to football, so she may or may not make it. But hopefully she's listening or on the way, and perhaps it's just as well, because I would have been highly embarrassed had Teresa seen any naked electrons. But Teresa Taylor, Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, she was always with us in our hearts, and I know you, the listener, will really miss her if she doesn't make it over the next hour. So stay with us. We're okay. All right. This week's just not been quite as crazy. There's still a lot to talk about, but it's not as crazy. One of the things I wanted to kind of hit, because it's kind of not getting enough, is the economy. Folks, the economy is recovering.
Yeah.
It's very steadily recovering. The jobless claims are dropping like a rock every week. It's again they're going below expectations. I think they were expecting 950,000 or something this week, and it was 881,000.
Right, right.
So they're going down faster. Jobs reports coming out, but the jobless claims are going down. Jobs are coming back. I'll be really curious to see what the jobs report is, because now this is anecdotally. I mean, I know there's a lot of places I hear about it where there's people out of work, but from what I can tell,
California. That's hard to say, isn't it? It is kind of hard to say.
California. In the places where they're locked down, they're not working. They're closed. But as far as I can tell, almost everybody I know is working. Mm-hmm. Some of them are still working from home, but they're working. So, but here's the other thing that people are not really talking about, and it's kind of funny. I like the way they report the stock market, because there was a report today. Stock market, Dow is down 800 points today. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh. But they don't really talk about the fact, you know, the stock market's back up in record territory again?
Yeah, yeah.
That everything we lost during the pandemic, starting in March, we've gained it all back. Remember, we went down to 19,000?
Like, yeah, it's back to 28,000.
It's 28,000 again. We're back up in record territory.
In that neighborhood.
So when they say, hey, it dropped 800 points,
That's a normal kind of correction.
Yeah, this isn't 1987, folks. 800 points, you know.
And it was tech. It was a sell-off in tech.
There was some tech. And tech's got some problems, but...
And Fauci kind of going against CDC. Well, you heard about CDC telling the governors, be ready, you know, for a vaccine. Be ready for at least, you know, by November 1st. And if you have places that, you know, would take longer to get approval and stuff, you know, speed that approval
up. Speed it up.
You know, fast-lane that approval. And Fauci is like, no, I don't know about that.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
That's the word I heard from one of the stock market gurus. So I haven't heard the Fauci exchange or what he said exactly.
But there are several things.
That was one of the reasons why, you know, in light of the news that Fauci's going against the CDC. You know, not that I'm a big fan of CDC, but there again.
Or Fauci.
Either one.
I mean, after 6 months. It's like, really?
Stop messing with my 401k, man.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, after what we've seen, lived, learned, and now know about the last 6 months. Is anybody still out there hanging on Fauci's word or just breathlessly waiting for CDC guidance?
Apparently somebody in the pits at Wall Street are paying attention.
I don't know. Look, they also play that game. Look, when it goes down 800, that just means people with cash go, ooh, stuff's on sale. Let me see what's on sale.
Yeah.
Come on. So anyway, the economy's recovering, and I think Democrats are panicking because it may recover before the election, so that's why they're working hard to go against it. But I wanted to note that we did take a big hit, huge hit, depression-type hit this year with the shutdown and loss of, what, 30-something million jobs. Just crazy, right?
Right.
And Biden's still out there, and what's his prescription for the economy?
Higher taxes.
Yeah, I'm going to raise taxes.
I'm going to raise your taxes.
What a 10-year is that? I mean, just totally out of touch. I'm going to raise you. You're hurting.
Well,
we need jobs to come back, so I'm going to raise your taxes.
Right, right.
Just unbelievable. But I wanted to add on.
They're always a day late and a dollar short.
They are.
I mean, now he's talking about, well, now, you know, you could be upset, but if you're rioting, that's probably not a good thing, guys.
Oh, yeah. No. We've turned the corner because the polling goes, rioting is
Americans
bad.
Don't like that.
Americans don't like that, and they're properly blaming the Democrats, and we're gonna get into that.
I jumped the gun a little bit.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have the cheat sheet.
No, you don't.
I keep it over here.
I know.
So, but the other thing I want to put on there to show, talking about Biden and the economy, but not just necessarily the economy. Well, it is economically related, to show how far behind they are. So Biden was thinking he could stay in the basement in Delaware.
Right.
So earlier this week, he had to rush off to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pennsylvania is trending the wrong way. And so he is literally in Pennsylvania screaming, I am not anti-fracking. I am telling you, I am not anti-fracking. Because fracking's big up there. It's really turned the economy around in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Very big. Lots of jobs created in Pennsylvania. And so everybody's going, and if you're in Pennsylvania, if you're anywhere and you're listening, going, wait a minute. So you've been hanging around with your pal, your Green Deal pal, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who says she's going to get rid of all energy except, you know,
wind
and solar, right? I'm going to get rid of it. We're going to get rid of coal. We're going to get rid of oil. We're going to get rid of natural gas. And Biden himself, and maybe it's because he's smelling her hair and he's distracted while he's standing with her, says, we're going to end fossil fuels. But Pennsylvania, I'm not against fracking. I know I said I'm going to end fossil fuels, but I'm not against fracking.
Do you think maybe he doesn't know that natural gas is, quote unquote, a fossil fuel?
That could be.
Yeah.
Or maybe he thinks fracking is something else.
That could be, too.
He may not know what fracking is.
That could be.
Maybe he thinks, you know, no, I'm all for it. We don't use blocks of ice anymore. We frack them into ice cubes. And I'm not against fracking blocks of ice into ice cubes. I mean, who knows what the man's. It's just the desperation.
Yes, it is.
And part of that is the polls, because since the convention, and I think this is why it was in Pennsylvania, and the polls is what I wanted to get into, is there were six congressional districts that before the conventions were very competitive for Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were tight, very competitive. Since the conventions, Republicans now lead all six by 10 points.
Whoa!
Now, who? What?
Whoa!
What? So now, that sort of explains why Joe is screaming at you in Pennsylvania, "I'm not anti-fracking." Well, look, when we get back, here's the one thing I want to talk about that I want to get in the polls. We've just had two conventions, right?
Right.
And they always talk about the post-convention bounce, right?
Right, yep.
What is it, 10 days now since the RNC? Was it last week?
Last Thursday was the...
The finale.
The finale, yeah.
Was it the finale last week?
Yeah, yeah. Trump did a great speech and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we haven't even talked about
tremendous that. Fireworks.
Oh, I need to get into that.
Oh,
but anyway,
man, what a show.
That's the best fireworks show I've ever seen in my life since. You know when the first best show I'd seen it? I was in Germany in 1976 on July 4th.
Uh-huh.
And in a small town, they did a fireworks show for our July 4th
right.
in Germany. And it was stupendous. So to this day, it was until last Thursday night.
Yeah.
That, I've never seen
Wasn't
anything
that
so
amazing?
Stupendous and spectacular. And you know what I loved about it the most?
Trump 2020?
That, but the fact I kept thinking as it sounded like this huge battle raging, that every Democrat and liberal in Washington was losing their mind watching those fireworks. And then when you compare them to, you know, Biden's little fireworks over his little drive-in movie theater mm-hmm. with his socially distanced cars out in the movie theater, right? Cars are, you know, 12 feet apart and all that crap.
Yep.
And they have the little, oh, I got a couple Roman candles. And Trump comes with that. That was awesome. Oh, but you got me completely distracted. We wouldn't talk about the convention bounce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many post-convention polls have you seen?
A few, but not many.
That's the thing, I think. There's state polls, but there's no polls, national polls come out. That is really bizarre. We're going to get into that. We'll be right back with your calls and text at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And look, we've got lines open at 251-343-0106. And you can also text us if you are too shy to come on the air. But don't be shy. We're quite harmless. We don't bite. Nibble a bit, but we don't bite. Okay, talking about the post-commitment. Look, after the DNC, they kind of, hemmed and hawed. It doesn't look like Biden's going to get much of a bounce out of this. But they never really showed any national head-to-head polls.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen any national head-to-head polls. I have seen state polls,
yeah.
And I want to talk about those. But usually, right after the conventions, they go, all right, you know, Democrats came out with a five-point bounce. And 5 points is the norm, is what you get. Republicans, they did theirs, and now they come out with a five-point bounce or whatever. So what I'm suspecting, since we haven't really seen a national head-to-head poll, it must be devastating.
It could very well be.
It must be way more than five.
Here's the thing you need to remember about polls, and this is something Jeff Poor talked about in his show, is that to accurately understand the polls, see who they're asking. If they're asking just general people, that's a pretty bogus poll.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
If they're asking registered voters, don't pay too much attention to that. Look for the ones that are asking likely voters. That's the poll you need to know. And here's another one, a way of asking the question of the polls. There's an organization now, I think, that is asking, if the election were held today, who do you think your neighbor would vote for? Because so many people are hesitant about saying, "Oh yeah, I'm voting for Trump." They don't want to divulge that information, not knowing who's listening.
And
on
so
the
they'd
other
say,
end.
"Well, I'm sure my neighbor's voting for Trump."
I'm sure my neighbor's voting for Trump. I don't know. You know, yeah. But I think that's who they're going to vote for. So it's an interesting way of asking.
No,
the poll
they manipulate it. I mean, look, and we do this every presidential election, and Mark and I are going to the age now that we've seen a lot of them. We've been watching quite a few.
I'll be honest with you. The first election I voted in was Richard Nixon, the one he lost, I think, John Kennedy. Am I that old?
No, you're not that old.
No, I did the second time when he won.
Won, yes.
Yes.
72 when he
72,
won.
72, yes. Yes. That's the one I voted in.
Yes. You're not that old because you'd be like 80-something.
Sometimes I feel like it.
You're not 80? No. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I wasn't there when I didn't vote when he ran against Kennedy, but I did.
You were alive.
I was alive then, yes.
So was I.
Yeah, yeah. But I voted in the one he won.
Yeah. I always tell people, you want to put it in perspective.
I don't remember who the running mate was, but.
Yeah, the Nixon's running mate. I don't remember either. Well, we were babies.
Yeah, well, 18.
You were not 18 in 1960.
No. When he won
against McGovern,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what I was going to say that puts you in perspective is think about. Who and for you and I, it's the same. Who was the president when we were born?
The president when we were born was Dwight Eisenhower.
Me too.
You too? I didn't know you were that old.
I'm that old.
You were born during his second term, though, right?
Yeah, I was born right before he left office.
Okay, all right.
I barely made it, he was still in office when I was born.
I was born about the time that he said, "Yay, we won."
Yes, So there's a little different. But we were born during the Eisenhower years. That dates it. But what I was going to say about watching all these presidents is we play this every year. Every year. Look back at every year since 1980 at least. All summer, the Democrats are going to beat the tar out of the Republican. Mm-hmm. All summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they start in September. It's tightening up a little bit, but the Democrats got to lead, blah, blah, blah. And it's usually not until the last 2 weeks the excuses start coming out. But in that, you can almost, to try to gauge it, whatever poll you see, add 5 points for the Republicans.
Yeah, good.
If you just add 5 points to the Republicans, you're probably closer to what's going on out there. David says he was born during Reagan, so that puts us certainly
a generation
apart. But so watch those polls. But the interesting thing, remember I said they start making excuses about 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
They're making excuses now.
Yeah.
Remember Hillary said, "Joe, don't concede under any circumstance." And then I love this one. One of the Democrat pundits published a column, I think it was on Politico or something, or one of the sites like that. And he's talking to the Democrats and liberals. He says, "Look, election night will be tough. It will look like Trump wins on election night."
Mm-hmm.
"But wait for the mail-in ballots to be counted and Biden will surely win." And it's like,
well,
so you're basically,
because it's easy to steal those, manufacture those mail-in ballots.
So they're already telling us, don't worry, we got the mail-in ballots.
We've already got enough mail-in ballots in the key districts and precincts that they're already set.
We've got them. We're like Antifa. We have them pre-staged in the trunks of cars in all the polling places where we need them.
Yep, yep.
And we just got to figure out how many we need to pull out.
Right.
That's all we need.
How many car trunks do we need to open and say, "Oh, look what I found"?
I mean, it's just amazing. They're actually telling. But speaking of telling us stuff, how about the Washington Post?
How about the Washington Post?
They had a column out this week that basically said, "Look, if Biden loses, there will be election night violence." I mean, they're basically telling us, "You better vote for Biden. You think you've seen anarchy and cities being burned now? You wait till election night." You know what? I believe that.
I would not
put it past them. That they're going to, you think Antifa is crazy now? You wait when Trump wins. They're going to come out and they're going to burn down. And Washington Post, I mean, it's almost like blackmail.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's like blackmail.
It's definitely kind of a coercive article, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice city you got there. Shame something happened to it if Biden loses.
Yeah.
Probably happened to Biden. I mean, they're so transparent. And the things they're saying, and then Cuomo came out and said, he basically threatened the president. "Better not come to New York City," because after he went to Kenosha, "he come to New York City, he going to need an army."
Well, here's the thing.
What? He has an army.
First of all, he has an army.
He has Marines, too.
Exactly. I mean, and the Navy that can, you know, sail right up the port.
He sent the Navy there once.
He did.
With nurses. It won't be nurses next time, Andrew. I don't know. They're just so silly.
About these guys?
But I think that's all because of the panic. And I say that because let's go back to the polls. I told you about Pennsylvania. How about since the RNC? Guess who's leading in Michigan?
I don't know.
Donald J. Trump.
Whoa.
And you remember that guy, John James, that's running for Senate?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The black guy running Republican?
Right.
He is now leading in Michigan, along with Trump.
Excellent.
So, and if you don't think it's close, because we're not seeing the national polls, he's tied in Minnesota. Trump is tied with Biden in Minnesota. Minnesota?
He did not win Minnesota last time, did he?
No, he did not.
He did not win Minnesota.
He did not.
He won Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, but he did not win
Minnesota.
If he gets Minnesota, because I think that's like 10 electoral votes. That's a biggie.
Yeah.
That helps. So these are the things you got to watch. And then, I'm sorry, but if you're stuck on Twitter or Facebook and you're not on Parler, you're probably missing a lot of this. And I'm really enjoying Parler. I've gotten where I might go on Twitter once a week anymore.
Yeah.
I really don't. But Parler, they're showing videos all over the country. You know, there's Trump parades everywhere.
I did not know that.
There are Trump parades. There are Trump boat parades across this country that you would go how many dozens and hundreds of boats doing on every lake and waterway.
Wow.
Trump parades. And there are even car parades. There was one in California.
There are conservatives in California.
Yes.
There are a lot of conservatives in California. They just can't get past their crazy primary system to get a Republican elected.
Right.
So
now, the only thing, last thing I say on the polls is there did approval rate poll came out, and Trump had his highest approval for a while now at 50.3%.
Mm-hmm.
And for Trump to get that with all the negative, that's huge. And guess what? That's higher than Obama's approval in 2012 at the same time. So, hey, there's a lot going on, but we've got lots more to talk about. There's still protests. Still need to talk about the RNC some more. Trump's visit to Kenosha. All sorts of... The CDC says only 6% of COVID deaths are actually COVID. All sorts of wild stuff to talk about. And your text at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. At the bottom of the hour, bring aboard a special sponsor, ABC Signs and Shirts. And they are your headquarters for custom-made dry fit shirts, custom-made banners, yard signs, any kind of signs, promotional materials, anything that you need to promote your business, your family reunion, your sports team, or just your politics in general. And if you need Trump 2020 stuff, they got it. They got a Trump store. Go visit them on LaRue Steiner Road, just off of Highway 90 there by the Tractor Supply in downtown Tillman's Corner. Or go to abcsigns.biz, B-I-Z, or abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z, and they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th President, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
The major issue of this campaign is the direct political, personal, and moral responsibility of Democratic Party leadership in the White House and in the Congress for this unprecedented calamity which has befallen us. They tell us they've done the most that could humanly be done. They say that the United States has had its day in the sun, that our nation has passed its zenith. They expect you to tell your children that the American people no longer have the will to cope with their problems, that the future will be one of sacrifice and few opportunities. My fellow citizens, I utterly reject that view. The American people, the most generous on earth, who created the highest standard of living, are not going to accept the notion that we can only make a better world for others by moving backward ourselves. And those who believe we can have no business leading this nation.
And there we go. That is from Ronald Reagan's acceptance speech in 1980 at the Republican National Convention on the 17th of July, 1980. Just barely 40 years ago, just over 40 years ago. And I picked it in honor of Trump's very uplifting and compelling acceptance speech last week. And I also picked it because he really draws the contrast of, and he kind of draws a contrast with the Democrats. They're telling you, you can't do it. We've had our day in the sun. We are declining. I mean, even back then, the Democrats were telling us, you know, you're going to have to live with stagflation.
Yeah.
You're going to have to live with high interest rates.
Right.
You're, you know, we're just, you know, we're, it's a.
Here's the new normal.
There's a new normal. We're declining. We're going to do the best we can. But that's the same thing the Democrats are telling us. You know, that's what they, what's what Obama and Biden told us when they were there, and now they're telling us with the pandemic. I don't know if we're going to ever be able to come back. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to play football again, and I don't know about going to school. The teachers are scared. You can't go to school. No, I mean, all the parents are going nuts because they get the kids out of the house, right? And he said, no, we're the American people. We know how to create a great country and how to cope. Don't tell us that we don't know how to cope and that we can't handle our problems. We've been doing it for over 200 years. And that's basically the same thing Trump said last week.
Exactly.
He said the same thing. He said, look, we face challenges, but we can face these challenges. We can handle that. And it goes with this week's column, winning versus whining. That's the two conventions.
There
one was winning, one was whining.
And you guys figure out which one it is.
Yes. You go watch them and figure out. And you can get that at BamaNewsNow.com. And I highly recommend you go to see it now at BamaNews.com. The editor picked out a great picture of what looks like a young Antifa child just crying his eyes out. It's pretty funny. So yeah, he looks like a snow, poor kid looks like a snowflake.
Yep.
You know, on back in 2016 when he heard that Hillary Clinton lost.
Oh no,
it was terrible.
So speaking of a text line, we have a couple. David has weighed in with a couple that Navy is nothing but a transport service for the Air Force and the Marines anyway.
He's just trying to pick a fight.
That's what he's
come
doing.
On in here, David.
He said,
come
that,
on in
not
here.
Us. Come on. And also, the last Republican to win the state of Minnesota in the presidential election was Richard Nixon in 1972.
That's right.
He says if Trump pulls off Minnesota this time, he will have done something that Reagan could not do.
That's right.
That's
Reagan
true.
Did not get Minnesota. So that's very interesting.
And we have an
and we don't carry the Air Force around. We'll carry Marines, but not Air Force.
Not Air Force. That's right. Unnamed texter weighs in with, if Clueless Joe gets elected the day after, hydroxychloroquine will suddenly become the miracle cure we've all been waiting for. Everybody will be back to work, school, and play. Bert. Thank you, Bert.
Thank you, Bert. And that kind of reminds me. Remember when Clinton got elected in 92? All that year. Economy's bad. It's a recession. We're heading into depression. The recession had been over for 18 months by November of 1992.
Right.
And the literally, like, within days after the election, he was still just president-elect. You know, Bush was still president. They asked him something about the economy. He says, you know, because there was some good economic news.
Right.
Immediately, 2 days after. Well, they know I'm coming. That's what he said. It's better because they know I'm coming.
That's a good impersonation.
Well, I don't know if it's good, but
It was okay. Adequate.
You're paid to say it's good, right?
Right. That's right. Exactly.
Okay. So I appreciate that. I'll take it. Let's go to James in Pensacola.
You know what's funny about that? You know, it seems like the economy was a lot better in 92 than it was in 2000.
Yeah, I think so. I think you might be able to make an argument for that. Absolutely.
Yeah. what do you think of Chuck Hagel, Bill Weld, and now that Rick Snyder, former governor of Michigan, now all endorsing, you know,
endorsing
the
Biden.
The guy was in the Senate for way too long.
Yeah, all those guys, just like Jeff Flake last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, these guys are just praying to be relevant again. I mean, yeah. Right? I mean, does that give you pause, Jeff Flake? No.
Yeah, no.
Or the guys you just met, nobody cares.
But you're right. And here's the thing. If a Republican, you know, a good conservative comes out and stands in front of the cameras and says, yeah, I'm a supporter of the president and, you know, I'm getting all of my people to work hard and, you know, reelect me and reelect him too. We'll get together and make this country great. That's not news.
No, they won't report
that. That's not
that.
News. But you get Jeff Flake in front of the cameras and say, you know, it's a tough time in our country, and I think the only one to take care of it is Joe Biden. Here's a Republican that has crossed over, you know, and dissed the president, and here's the news. It's the news.
No. These are just rhinos showing their true colors. Because you notice all the Republicans are doing this are all has-beens. They're all out of office. Most of them are Washington swamp creatures that are just coming clean that they defrauded us when they were Republicans. They were never Republicans. They were never conservatives. They were just playing the game for power. They ran the way they needed to get elected. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares what Jeff Flake says. He's out of power. He's a has-been. Nobody liked him when he was in. Nobody likes him now. Nobody cares. But you know who I do, who to me makes more sense?
Who's that?
The six Democrat mayors in Minnesota that are in office right now. They're mayors in Minnesota, Democrat mayors of cities in Minnesota who all endorse Trump.
Yep.
Why? Because they're living it. They're doing it. I don't care about Hagel and Flake, these fakers from Washington. Nobody cares what they say. I laugh at them.
And what gets me, you think they're talking about that right now on CNN or MSNBC about the Democrats. No, but you're going to hear all about Chuck Hagel.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny. I got distant relatives up in Michigan who were hardcore Democrats. They hated Rick Snyder when he was governor.
Oh, yeah. What do they think of Christine Whitmer? Whitmer, I know that. Whatever her name is.
I heard, she wasn't a very good governor either.
Well, I'm thinking they must be hating her. I mean, from all the, I don't see how that woman, I'll be shocked if she gets reelected. So I'd be curious.
You think Ivy will get another term? Now she wants you to wear masks for another month.
I mean, I don't know if I can handle another 4 years of Governor Meemaw.
Yeah,
look, she's like 74 or 5 now, and she's not a spry. She's a frail 74 or 5. Mm-hmm. I hope not.
What are we, two years away? I'm not sure she's even going to throw
a
hat.
There's a lot of happy hours between now and 22. I don't think it's too early to tell. So, yep. All right, James.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Appreciate you listening from Pensacola. And because we got listeners from all over, Louisiana, Texas, Alabama. They're all over Mississippi. We cover the Gulf Coast. Okay, I hit all that. We talked about how great the RNC was. Okay, let's talk about the protests. So Trump was asked not to go to Kenosha.
Kenosha, yes.
And he did. And I don't know if you saw, but his visit I thought was great. You know, didn't want to come. David says, I can't say Governor Meemaw is sexist and ageist. Oh, well. Well, you can insult the Navy. I can say what I want. The governor, mayor didn't want him to come, but he sat down with the sheriffs and the police department and the county people. And, man, there was people in the streets thrilled that he was there. But, look, this is out of control here, because how about the fact now they're going after the 17-year-old kid who killed two people? How about the Trump supporter that was murdered in Portland last week?
Yeah.
How about the way they attacked Republicans coming out of
the convention?
Yeah. Well, I mean, was that crazy? I mean, they literally were swarming Rand Paul and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, and this is how stupid the BLM Antifa people are. They were hollering at him, say her name, say her name. And it's like, hey, he wrote the law to stop no-knock raids.
Yeah.
Warrants or whatever.
No-knock warrants, yeah.
No-knock warrants. He wrote the Breonna Taylor no-knock warrants. That's, they're so stupid.
It's
unbelievable. Okay. All right. Okay, we're on a break. We'll be right back at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
Button. I'm there. Okay, here we go. We're back. Had a little glitch there, but we're back. I wanted to hit on the Portland and all those things still keep going, but they turn on their own. I don't know if you saw it, but the Antifa turned on Mayor Wheeler in Portland. They went to his condo to celebrate his birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they set it on fire. Did you see that?
What, they missed the candles?
They must have been a lot of candles on that cake because they set his condo. And he's moving out. And then the same thing happened. They didn't set it on fire, but BLM in Washington went to protest at Mayor Bowser's house. So they're just turning on people. It's just crazy. And here's the other thing I wanted to get into because we want to get to the call. But I want to mention, look, nobody wants to see anybody killed.
No.
But I'm getting tired because now there's this thing about Rochester that's just breaking today. This happened back in March. Some guy just totally strung out on PCP, running naked through the snow in Rochester, New York. And he's totally strung out on PCP, and the police are trying to arrest him, and he's resisting and all that.
Right.
And he winds up dying in police custody.
Yeah.
But he's totally strung out on, and now they're going after the police again, trying to create another one of these. Oh, and somebody said, oh, there's a man who needed passion, compassion and help. And the same thing with Blake and Jacob Blake. They tased the guy twice. The 911, how come we haven't heard from the woman who called 911? Why did you call 911?
Exactly.
What was he doing? They go there to try to defuse it. They tase the guy twice, and he's still heading away in his car. You know what? If you're doing criminal activity, and you want to resist arrest, and you're high in drugs, I'm out of sympathy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? If you can't comply, and you get shot and killed because you're stupid, well, I'm sorry, but that's your fault. And we do not need to expect our police officers to have to, oh, we got to handle with kid gloves. I mean, if you watch the videos of them handling the most vile people who have strung out on drugs and criminals and trying to hurt and maim other people, and they're trying to subdue them as compassionately as possible and not hurt them, it's kind of enough of that crap.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. I have no compassion for them. Well, I have compassion for humans, but if you're stupid, you get what you get.
Yeah,
the Lord will forgive you. He'll take you, but you got to you got to take your punishment. I'm just tired of it, and especially what we're trying to.
Stupid hurts.
Stupid hurts.
Yeah.
If you're stupid, you will. And what I'm really tired of is this persecution, this relentless, merciless scrutiny of the police for every little thing they do. When they got people that are so vile and out of control that any other normal human being, we'd drop them in the yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid. I'm just tired of that. Okay, well, we got, let's go. Wait a minute. We got Joe from Alabama holding. What do you got for us, Joe?
Hey, gentlemen. Hey. Listen, I was going to talk about a couple of ironic things, but you got me going. That lady that called the police on, what's his name? You know, the guy that got
yeah.
there. Apparently, another one of the ironies is Democrats apparently don't believe women when they accuse men of sexual abuse anymore. My understanding is, and it was a very reliable source, that he was making advances that she was not interested in him making, is the way that I'm going to put it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the other thing that's very strange, prior to this year, the left-wing kooks were all opposed to assault rifles, but when the autonomous zone got set up, one of the first things they did was set up a perimeter, keep outsiders from coming in, and arm themselves with assault rifles.
Exactly.
I didn't hear a lot of complaints. I've seen pictures of Black Lives Matter protesters, and you will occasionally see a so-called assault rifle in there. Haven't heard complaints about that one. It's just that the ironies here are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And not the least of which, of course, is Empress Pelosi let them eat ice cream.
No, it is that. Well, it's just like that 17-year-old kid they've got who had the rifle, and you see the video. He's defending himself. They don't talk about the fact that one guy he shot had a Glock in his hand.
Exactly.
The other guy comes up, hits him in the head. They're chasing him, comes up, hits him in the head with a skateboard mm-hmm. as he's falling down, and the other guy comes up with a Glock.
What's he supposed to do?
He's got a rifle.
Exactly. And he gets condemned mercilessly. And the Antifa people in the Northwest that were armed with in some cases, the exact same rifle, I don't hear anything.
No, they're not condemning them. They're not talking about gun control for the chop, right?
It's just an example. If you're inside the camp, one set of rules apply, and if you're not inside the camp, no, you don't have the same rights.
Didn't Nancy Pelosi show that to us better? In great example.
Yeah, she was
this
set
week.
Up. She was set up.
Right.
She was.
Right. Well, and listen, can I make one more comment about that?
Yeah.
The third person in line to be the president of the United States, and she is so stupid that she gets roped in by a lady that runs a salon in San Francisco. There is something desperately wrong with that picture.
No, she didn't. Look, she didn't get roped in. She called her stylist.
No, I understand, but it can only be one of two ways.
Right. No, you're right.
She's lying, or she got roped in, and she's the third person in line for the president.
Now, that's a good point.
Tells me she's horridly stupid.
If she's that stupid, she shouldn't be in third in line to be the president.
Yep.
But no, but it's so brazen. I mean, the salon and hairstylists are starving to death in San Francisco because they're not allowed to do hair. They can't do anything, especially inside, except if you're Madam Speaker.
Right.
Then you can make a call and they will let you in. And I get it why the salon, because she called her stylist who has a chair there, and the owner didn't know about it. And she sees it and goes, wait a minute. I am starving to death and losing money, but she can come in and get her hair done.
Right. Well, listen, we know what the stylists have been doing in San Francisco for the last few months while they haven't been able to work. They've been plotting how they're going to bring down Empress Pelosi.
Yes. That's exactly right. All right. Well, we got to go. Joe, thanks for the call. We're almost out of time. But no, she absolutely shows the typical elitist hypocrisy.
The entitlement.
Hairstyling power, for me, but not for thee.
Absolutely.
Now, our guns for me, but not for thee.
Yep.
No, it's crazy. And hey, we didn't even get into it, but you got to wonder when the CDC comes out and says only 6% of COVID deaths that we're tracking are actually only from COVID. You got to start wondering, are we being played? Could this be election year politics? I don't know. We didn't even get into that. Huh?
Makes you go, hmm.
Makes you go, hmm. The other thing we didn't get into is Biden brain aneurysms. I didn't know about that. Who knows? But hey, it's almost Labor Day, honey. It's time to come home.